Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Big thoughts. So you don't have
really
to.
Big thoughts.
Here's John Williams.
Even on a Friday. It's Friday, right? It's 109. This is John. We're in the Skyline Studio downtown Chicago. What a lovely day in the city. Thanks for tuning in. We're here till 3. As always, on Facebook. Lots going on there, too. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Call 312-981-7200 to be part of this little radio show of ours. You can text 282. Raja Krishnamoorthy, the Naperville congressman who's been on TV a lot lately, will join us at 1:30. And Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox is running for re-election. She's got a commercial out that people are kind of scratching their heads over. And there's a couple of other things to talk to the state's attorney about. We'll do that a little after, too. It's Friday, for goodness sakes. That means our Bright Side of Life segment gives you a chance to call in and tell us some good news. Why are you smiling? If you don't find yourself in a chipper, smiley place right now, you will at 2:40.
Fun fact, I had that song stuck in my head this morning.
Always look on the bright side?
Uh-huh. That's a good sign, right?
Yeah, that's a... You can't be unhappy when you're whistling that tune.
Mm-mm.
2:40, the bright side. Join us for that. By the way, did you see the video of Raja Krishnamoorthy? So he is at the long console there where the congresspeople are for these hearings. And he's been on TV lately because he's part of that committee. There's this woman, what's her last name, Stefanik? Elise Stefanik is the new breakout Republican star. And then there's Raja, who I don't know where he is in the hierarchy of things, but Elise is a Republican from New York. She's attractive, she's bright, she's clear, she's very quick in her words, but not manic like maybe Congressman Jim Jordan. She was on with Sean Hannity last night, and he patted her on the back. They show video on Twitter. There's no audio, but Raja is sitting at his console, I guess in between the hearings, getting ready maybe for them to start or start again, and she comes up to him and kind of leans in and says something, and there's a smile, and then she turns and walks away, and then he looks crestfallen. After she turns, he just looks like, oh, no. Ugh. It's very funny. It reminds you a little bit of the video when the First Lady and the President were at the inauguration or somewhere, and she looks at him or he looks at her, and again, the face changes.
Inauguration.
And everybody was speculating about what that meant, but Raja had a moment like that with her. And they say they're friends, which is a very interesting thing to, I think, contemplate and to remember. As harsh as the words are between, say, Devin Nunes and Adam Schiff, or any of these congresspeople that are on TV this week, a lot of them say they're friends. I don't know how they can be. And it's good to know that they are, because I don't have that thick of skin or I don't have that kind of work environment. I couldn't go on TV and say terrible things about what you believe, and maybe even about you, and then us be pals. But they say they are. Raja, what happened there?
I think that she asked him if he wanted, like, pizza for lunch or something, and he was like, eh, and then she walked away. Otherwise, why would she walk away so quickly?
Raja answers that at 1:35. I want to pick up a couple of pieces from yesterday's show, by the way. We were talking, I don't know how we got onto this, but people who don't pay you back, and what do you do about that? Some of you have lost friendships over $10 loaned. And some of you, it's much more than that. Hey, John, I lent a coworker $7,500 for a family emergency. Boy, you are a good friend. $7,500. After 9 months without any type of payback, I asked her a few times very nicely for the money. She went to the personnel department and filed a harassment complaint against me. I was let go from my job. I sued her in circuit court. I won a judgment, as she then hid under bankruptcy. I then found out I wasn't the only one she had extorted money from this way. Lesson learned. 912 sent us this yesterday. Never loan out money you expect to get back. Quote unquote. My dad told me that years ago. Never loan money that you expect you will get back. This all came in part because we were talking about bad behavior by guests. Somebody comes over to your house. I described a scene where somebody was staying in someone's house as a guest, and they threw up. They had too much to drink that night, and they threw up a lot of red wine all over the linens and rug, and it was new, and it was lightly colored, and it was all ruined, and those people never made the person whole, never got a replacement, never said or did anything. They just left the mess. Those were friends. John, the same thing happened when my daughter vomited her red wine excess all over the presidential suite at the Ritz in Naples. Amazingly, I got it out of the rug with massive quantities of club soda and towels. I didn't want the maids to have to deal with it. And finally, 847 said, a friend brought a co-worker to our annual summer party. She had too much to drink and needed to spend the night. So this person I don't even know sleeps on my family room couch. 2 days later, there is a bag hanging on my door with a bottle of furniture spray cleaner and a note saying, I may have peed while sleeping here, so here's some cleaner just in case.
What? Oh, gosh.
Needless to say, she was not welcome to come back again.
That does remind me of actually a really funny story in college. If I wouldn't really call this person a guest, but they were kind of a guest. It was a friend from high school visiting my dorm mate. So we're all in the same room, and he had drinking too much. And in the middle of the night, he got up, and I started hearing this noise. He was peeing in my humidifier. I don't know why he thought it was a bathroom, but of all things.
My brother did that in my sister's closet one time, but he was a sleepwalker.
I did it once. I was just lazy.
One time, I walk all the way down the hall when there's a perfectly good humidifier here? It's 1:15. There's a funny story about a lady who is setting today the world record here in Chicago for hula hooping. And as she hoops, she says hello in a minute. Story in the Tribune today about a lady who I think came from Australia originally, from Perth, Western Australia. She's a Wicker Park resident, 29 years old. She moved to Chicago a few months ago. Not exactly sure what she does, but she decided she wanted to hula hoop and break the world record for it. And I think this morning she did. It's part of a fundraising attempt as well for Mental Health America. And my understanding is that she has raised about $2,500 for that. Jenny Doan, are you there?
Hey, yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
So, what are you doing, Jenny?
Yeah, currently hula hooping, as I have been for the last 78 hours.
Are you hula hooping right now?
Yes, I am. I'm at the Brew Yards in Westtown.
So when you do this, when do you sleep? How many hours have you done it? How many consecutive hours have you been doing this? 70-something, right?
Yeah. So for every hour of hooping, I get 5 minutes of rest, which I can save up. And so since Tuesday, I've been saving it up for 40-minute napping sessions. So since Tuesday, 7 a.m., I've had 3 hours and 40 minutes of sleep.
Since Tuesday, today's Friday. Since Tuesday morning, you've had 3 hours of sleep?
Yes.
How you doing?
Yeah, it was pretty rough for patches of it, but having broken the record this morning at 10 a.m., that was just a huge weight off my shoulders.
I don't even think I can.
Much, much more relaxed.
I was in a hula hoop recently. Lauren Lapka, can you still hula hoop, Steve?
I can never hold it for more than like 10 seconds.
I know. And I don't know if that's a body thing or a motion thing, because I used to be able to hula hoop as long as I wanted. And then I recently tried to whip one around and I thought, what am I doing wrong? How is it not staying up?
I might have to start a clinic and start teaching people.
Yeah, you could teach people. We're having a little trouble understanding you, so I'm going to cut this short. But are you doing this as a fundraiser? Is that right?
Yes, I'm raising money for Mental Health America. And so I think we've passed the $2,500 mark, but aiming for $10,000.
Aiming for $10,000. And when you're working, do you work? What do you do?
Yeah, I work as an analyst for Uber Freight down in the Loop.
You're an analyst for a business in the Loop. So this is your vacation time, I guess, huh?
Yes, it is.
Have you lost a lot of weight?
I don't think so, but we'll find out at the end when I have to weigh myself afterwards.
So you hula hoop, you're eating, you get five-minute breaks for every hour that you hoop. So if you need to go to the bathroom, if you want to bank those to go to sleep, that's the way it works, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, how much longer are you going to go?
I'm hoping to do 100 hours, so I should wrap up by 11 a.m. tomorrow.
All right. Well, how does your body feel? Are you okay?
I'm pretty tired, but I'm also kind of delirious. So I think it's going okay, but hopefully I just stay awake and then the rest will sort itself out.
All right. Good luck to you, Jenny Doan. And if I wanted to make a donation, I'll tell you what, I don't think we'll be able to understand your website or the GoFundMe page. Producer Aleph, why don't you talk to her off the air? Thank you, Jenny. Good luck. Congratulations. And if folks want to make a donation for mental health, you can do whatever it is Aleph is about to find out, and then we'll pass that along. It was very frustrating because I know I'm older and my body isn't shaped the same way it used to be, but I'm still relatively trim. I'm still 6 foot tall.
You're very trim.
I'm not.
You cut a fine jib.
Yeah, I... You should see me with my turtleneck off, Steve. Or
what's with the turtlenecks, too? This is 2 days in a row.
I know it's the same one.
A lot
as well.
Of people don't wear two turtlenecks in a decade. It is the same one.
Is it working, though?
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you, Steve. So what happened was I was getting dressed today and tried on a sweater, and then Brenda said you should put a T-shirt on under that sweater, but then the T-shirt and sweater didn't work well. And so I was going through a whole bunch of iterations of my clothes, and she finally said, I'm sorry that I brought this up. I mean, you know, now it's...
This is like the reverse gender thing.
It was a ridiculous pile of clothing. Well, guys, I think, usually just say, you look great.
Right.
Brenda doesn't do that. She'll say, you look great. But you can tell that something's going on there. And it was a variety of things. And eventually, as I worked my way through my options, I came upon the sweater I had on yesterday. And...
Did you go through the dirty clothes?
It didn't get to... Well, the sweater wasn't that dirty. Hey, Steve, I know people enjoy talking about my turtlenecks, but I'm going to move it along now. It's 1:25 on WGN after a break for news. And yes, Steve, we'll do that. Raja Krishnamurthy, the congressman from the area, talks to us about a number of things, including the impeachment hearings. Raja is also a big proponent of making e-cigarettes and vapes hard to come by. I'm not sure that he's always got the right idea on that issue, but I know he's got a few things to say about that as well. So we'll catch up with the congressman in a little bit. Oh, and by the way, Steve, remember, I think I have it over here. Yesterday we were talking about flying, and there was an article in the USA Today that said six things you need to know if you haven't flown lately. And number four was you cannot move to an empty seat with extra leg room because that's been recategorized as a
priority or as
a premium seat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So even though you're sitting there, and somebody just texted in as we were talking about that yesterday and said, funny you should mention flight issues. My husband flew American Airlines last night. Flight was half empty. They still refused for a passenger to move to one of the seats with more leg room. Left a bad impression, will reconsider ever flying on American again.
Okay, but so if you're the flight attendant, you know, and how do you decide who gets it? The first person who asks?
Sure, or the first person to squat. I mean, I think if you just get up and move and sit, that's kind of your seat now.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what complications I'm borrowing here, but that doesn't seem to be that complicated to me. I may say, hey, but I've got long legs. I'd like it, too. And they'd go, yeah, but Steve is there. So, yeah, you don't get that. I'll say, well, Steve doesn't have a ticket. And they say, you don't either. First come, first serve. This would be very easy for me to manage at 30,000 feet with a couple of drinks and some of these people. And as you know, I also feel, I'm sure Lauren agrees with me on this. I think you do too, Steve.
Whenever you're sure.
Every now and then I turn around thinking there's going to be a parade. No one's there! Don't you think after the fourth inning, baseball teams, football teams, basketball teams should let everybody migrate to the nearest best seat?
Yeah, why not?
Come down a few rows. It looks better on TV. I never understand TV shots. Not many people sitting behind there. Maybe you got 20,000 people at the ballpark, but not many people in the premium seats. I would even let him sit there.
I'm beginning to think not, because, you know, usually they're, but I don't know. If you've paid for a nice seat and then all of a sudden it gets crowded with people who didn't and you can't see as well, they're probably a little rowdier because, you know, the riffraff sits upstairs.
Right, so then they...
they probably these, paid for their own tickets.
Unwashed the masses.
Right.
people holding chickens came in a wagon.
You know, not like,
thing.
Not like the company seats that you've never paid for in your life. You don't want to be mixed with people like that.
Sue, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you?
Yes, Jan. It's not you. It's the way the hula hoops are made today.
Ah.
Because the hula hoops used to be made with a heavier plastic and they were connected with wood.
Yeah.
I could hula hoop for hours. Granted, I was much younger. But the ones today are so lightweight that they're almost impossible to use.
Ah.
I bought myself a weighted hula hoop, more for exercise, but I can hula hoop for over an hour now.
Wow, and with your hips, you can still get that done, huh?
I can still get that done, and I'm 67 years old.
Sue, you've changed my whole outlook. I'm very excited about this. I'm going to look for a weighted... Hey, Brenda, our anniversary's coming up. A weighted hula hoop. Okay.
Now, okay. The first couple times you use it, it's a little heavy, so... You don't want to use it for too long because you may bruise your hip bones, but once you get used to it, it's fine.
I appreciate you listening. Thanks for the call, Sue.
No problem.
Bye now. Rick, you're on WGN. Hi.
All hail King John. How are you?
I'm good, man. What can I do for you?
As far as the flight attendants moving people up to where for the more leg room, one is the flight attendant crews aren't as tight-knit as they used to be. They could get reported and lose their jobs, or there could be an airline employee on the plane or an executive on the plane that they don't know. They see that going on. Then the flight attendants can get reported, and then they could possibly lose their job because they're giving away something for free.
Yeah, well, I don't want them to lose their job over a better seat for me, but that's because that's the regulation, and I just think I would change the regulation. I mean, if you knew, for instance, flying American Airlines, you could pay for a better seat. But if, when the plane takes off, the better seat is empty, you can take that seat for free. Now, you're going to fly American or United. Aren't you kind of interested in the one that might give you a free upgrade if it's available? Maybe that helps sales.
If it's available, I used to work for that airline, for American, and after the fare wars in 92, they just stripped everything down. Now, American's the biggest airline. Why don't they be like the smaller Allegiant airline? If you want to pay for the upgrade, why can't the flight attendant swipe something and, you know, maybe $5 or $10?
Yeah, right.
This way they're still making money.
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe less, but sure, I'm okay with that. Hey, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you joining us. It's 1:30. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy from Naperville has been on TV a lot lately. He's one of those faces you see at the... Wait, nobody's watching, but it's one of the faces on those impeachment hearings. And he's got a lot to say. We'll catch up with him.
Well, when I got I pulled my car over after I got over the train tracks, and that's when I saw the family exiting their vehicle. So I just started running to them, yelling, "How can I help? How can I help?" Because I saw the grandmother struggling with the little four-year-old girl. So I just ran over there, and I flipped her little leg, and I picked her up, and then we all ran to the side to safety near where my car was parked.
So then what happened?
We watched the train hit their car.
How much time between when you all got out of the way and the train hit the vehicle?
10 seconds. I like talk radio. When they talk
about things, let's talk about things. LaGrange Park's Betsy Buckley on with us yesterday talking about that harrowing moment. Life is short and sweet, concise like a haiku. Train's coming. It wasn't one of the commuter trains. It wasn't Metro. It was a freight train. And they go a little slower in parts of LaGrange there, but, you know, you're not real sure how much time you have. 10 seconds between her getting that little girl out of the car and the train demolishing. It actually didn't kapow it as bad as you might imagine, but I think it's called totaled their car. Everybody is okay. How about that? It's 1:34 on WGN. Hey, John, November 22nd, JFK Day, still a heartbreak for some of us. Yeah, Jim, thank you for the reminder. We should keep these things in place, too, huh? Raja Krishnamurthy is the congressman from Schaumburg. He's on the House committee that you're watching on the impeachment hearing.
Intelligence Committee.
Congressman, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, John?
Good. So what's happening with you today? What's your schedule?
It's just a tad bit lighter than the last couple of weeks. More kind of local stuff, and then I'll do a little bit of radio and TV, and hopefully call it an evening.
So no hearings today, right?
No hearings. That's right.
Are you mowing the lawn, by the way, Congressman?
You know, it's funny. The neighbors are mowing the lawn, so I apologize about that. I guess it's one of those days that's kind of in between fall and winter, I guess.
The congressman mows his own lawn, we're sure.
You are, you're back in the district. Just talk to me a little bit about the hearings and what you learned or what you didn't learn. What's your summary of what's happened this past week?
I think that I have a couple takeaways. One is that I thought the witnesses were very compelling. There were 12 witnesses, and for anybody who watched them, I would imagine that they thought that these people are credible. They're for the most part nonpartisan. They're career public servants, and it all makes them very compelling. The second kind of takeaway is, I think they pointed out a lot of very, very disturbing evidence. Gordon Sondland on I forgot what day of the week it was. He came and he basically said, you may be wondering if there was a quid pro quo. And he said, yes, there's a quid pro quo. Everybody knew it. Everyone was in it. Everyone was in on it. And others, helped to really fill in a lot of holes. But overall, I think what's, undisputed is that at the least, even, partisans on the other side say what happened was inappropriate, improper. I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about kind of members of Congress on the other side of the aisle. Because, you look at that transcript of the July 25th call, and it's just not the way that foreign policy should be conducted.
Yeah. Well, I think what they're saying, if I may, is that generally that's not the way foreign policy is conducted, and it's maybe not a good idea. It might not even be ethical, but I'm not hearing many Republican voices saying that's an impeachable offense.
I don't hear too many people publicly saying that. I think that privately, there's a range of opinion on their side. What I believe is that there's at least two or three things that are really very, very bad and I think illegal about what was done. One is soliciting kind of interference in our elections from a foreign power, getting another foreign power involved in our elections through investigating a domestic political rival. And then two, leveraging the power of the office of the president, either by conditioning a White House meeting on this investigation or military aid. And I think that that's, very serious because at the end of the day, the framers or the founders of our country did not want foreign powers involved in our domestic affairs. They were very, very concerned about that from the get-go. And then secondly, I think one of the biggest fears of any individual citizen or private citizen is to have their government use the full tools at their disposal to investigate a private citizen for illicit purposes or for political purposes or something like that. And I think both of those are at issue here.
As you say all of those things, I'm playing back in my head what the Republican retort to all of that is. I know well what they are. I think you do, too. For instance, solicitation, really, if the president asks for a favor and the favor is to try and root out corruption, the president is within his right, and maybe that's the right thing to do. I mean, that's sort of the verbal ping pong game I've been listening to here.
That is a completely bogus argument in this case. The corruption fighter the person who was fighting corruption in Ukraine on behalf of the American government was the ambassador, Marie Yovanovitch. I think on the very day that she was recalled, she was having a reception on behalf of the State Department to celebrate anti-corruption fighters within Ukraine. Anyway, she was recalled so that Rudy Giuliani could basically take control of foreign policy in Ukraine and kind of take it off track, where his associates, people like Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, who were indicted in New York, Dmitry Firtash, this guy who's indicted in Chicago, and other associates, as well as his own client, President Trump, could then try to put pressure on the Ukrainian government to investigate Joe Biden and others. So if this was about corruption, there are lots of ways to deal with it. This particular mode was nothing about fighting corruption or trying to get good government in Ukraine.
Well, one last thing, and then we'll stop litigating what has already happened and what the Judiciary Committee ultimately will have to make more critical decisions about. But there's three things that they keep saying over and over again. One is the president said there was no quid pro quo. Their president said he didn't feel pressured, and the aid was delivered. Nobody didn't get the military assistance. So there's no there there, they say. Generally, how would you respond to that?
Okay. With regard to the aid being resumed, it was resumed on September 11th, and I elicited during my testimony that it was resumed 2 days after Congress initiated the investigation into what has now led to these impeachment proceedings. They were caught, and they desperately wanted to, basically release the aid to make it look like nothing was wrong. The second point is, on the very day when the president says there's no quid pro quo, that very day is when the congressional investigation into whether a quid pro quo existed began, and it was publicly launched, and the whistleblower complaint had been released. And so, again, that's a little disingenuous of my colleagues to point to that conversation. Finally, I think Mick Mulvaney said it best, and I think he was most candid when he came out in the White House briefing room, and he said, you know what? Yeah, the military aid was conditioned on the investigation into the DNC server. Get over it. That's how we're going to roll here. And so I think that's, those are really tough arguments that they're making right now.
Congressman, whose testimony was most compelling to you? If you thought there was one person you'd hang your hat on this, who was it?
I thought Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. He was a firsthand participant. He's not doing this based on hearsay or a second or third hand account. He was on the call. Yeah. And the reason why he was compelling is that he was actually part of the entirety of discussions all the way from the beginning of July through the phone call as to what the American government, I should say, what Donald Trump and Ambassador Sondland wanted from the Ukrainians and what the Ukrainians wanted from the White House and how those became linked. And that came out in full force on July 10th in the White House in a meeting where Lieutenant Colonel Vindman was present. And then he's on the phone call. And I think he's thinking there's no way, no how, that this is actually the policy of the government to have a quid pro quo. And then he just hears it on the phone call. So then he's like, I got to go to the lawyers. So he runs to the lawyers at the NSC, and then they promptly put the transcript of that phone call on a server, classified server, to prevent others from getting access to it. So given everything, the fact that, John, if you were there and you saw him, you would know this is not a political guy. He doesn't strike somebody as some, kind of rogue actor or some partisan dude. His career is in jeopardy now, right? I mean, he's testified against his president. He's a lieutenant colonel, Purple Heart awardee. Who knows what the future holds for his military career, but he came forward to do the right thing.
I wanted to ask you one thing about him. When he was testifying, you got a chance, of course, to speak to him, and this is part of your exchange.
Your father never gave up working hard to build his very own American dream, did he?
He did not.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, your father achieved the American dream and so did you and your family. From one immigrant American to another immigrant American, I want to say to you that you and your family represent the very best of America. I assume that you are as proud to be an American as I am, correct?
Yes, sir.
Sir?
You struggled with your composure there, didn't you, Congressman?
I do now. Just listening to it, yes.
What was going on there?
Well, here's this guy who, you know, he fled the Soviet Union with his twin brother and his father. His mother had died before coming over here. And he basically decided, you know what, this country has given me freedom, and so I'm going to devote my entire life to this country. That's what he did. And then he was subjected to a lot of attacks recently when he decided to come forward with the truth. And it just killed me that that happened. That should not happen to anybody, let alone a veteran who, you know, was awarded a Purple Heart for being wounded in battle. So it was very it was moving. And then, you know, I obviously saw my own parents at this, you know, in his story, and it all came together.
Raja Krishnamurthy is on a phone line, Congressman, who used to be in Naperville, but he's moved to Schaumburg since I stopped saying that. Congressman, I have to pause. I don't know if you can stick around. I wanted to ask you about a couple of other issues the Congress is considering, and let's get to that after this. Raja Krishnamurthy has just a minute left with us, the congressman who is on the House Intelligence Committee. Steve Bertrand, you had a question too, right?
Congressman, I know you can't say exactly what, but what happens next? Now, I think impeachment hearings are before judiciary, so will they have witnesses? Will they get a report from intelligence, or how does that work?
The general next step is, you know, we have to formally conclude our inquiry. We prepare a report and then send it to the House Judiciary Committee, and then they do with it as they will.
Does that include more witnesses?
I don't know what types of witnesses, but I think they may have a couple few. But my general understanding is I don't think it's going to be, you know, as extensive a set of witnesses as we did, just because we're kind of in the fact, more in the fact-gathering stage. And they're more, okay, now where do we go from here with the facts or the evidence?
They'd be the one to draw up the actual charges, right?
Yeah. I think they would. I don't want to get ahead of them, but my assumption right now is that they'll review the facts, decide on whether to drop articles of impeachment. And, you know, in these situations, I think the House Resolution 660 specifically provides for the president to have his attorneys part of that process to be able to participate as well.
I know you got to go, Congressman. Do you want to say anything about the video that's gone viral with you and Elise Stefanik, the Republican from New York? She came up, said something to you, you smiled, she turned on her heel, walked away, and your face fell like, oh, that was terrible. What happened, Congressman?
I think that's more a problem with my facial expressions than anything else. She may have come over and asked how much longer is there in the break between proceedings. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm one of the last questioners, so I was like hurriedly preparing for my questioning, and so I think I was just more I was kind of more, my head was more in my questions than you know, talking to other people at that moment.
The reporting is you two are friends, so it wasn't anything that she said that you didn't like. There was no cross words, or that wasn't a cross expression on your part.
Yeah. No, it was just a very strange expression on my face.
Yeah, you got to work. You got to work on that, Raja. You're on TV a lot now.
I woke up and, you know, we had like, I don't know, 2 million views or something. And finally my first son's like, wow, that was all.
Dad, good job.
You finally have some respect.
Stay well, Congressman. We appreciate your time
today.
Raja Krishnamurthy. Kids go, Dad, you got 2 million views on Facebook, man. He goes, you know, I'm on the House Intelligence Committee, right? I'm a rising star in the United States Congress. Yeah, but you got 2 million views, Dad. Hey, Steve, we were talking about flying a little while ago, and I think you ought to be able to move up to a better seat once the plane takes off. A lot of texts about that. A lot of people don't agree with me. John, I heard the Delta CEO was on CBS this morning. Yeah, I actually saw this interview. The head of Delta was on CBS this morning. He said that he sits in coach so that he can be with the people and see what their experience is like. John, United will never let you move seats either. Hey, John, so if there's an empty seat in first class, should the first passenger who squats up there be able to sit there too? Well, the answer to that, of course, is no, because sometimes I'm in first class. But if you're in coach and they have those extra leg room seats and nobody's taking them, it would not bother me if you did, right? So maybe not everybody feels that way, but I don't think I would care. But I said, notwithstanding. John, if you're a frequent traveler, you would not feel the same way, or a person that paid a premium price for the seat would not feel the same way if anybody else sits there.
See, that's the question. So if you paid up, do you then resent it if someone else gets a better deal?
Yeah, and what are you resenting? That they got a better deal than you, or that they're just crowding your space?
Because that happens. I told you, I bought legroom seats for a trip, I think maybe to Portugal, and it was a few hundred dollars per person. And then someone went checked in that day, and there were more available, and they got them for 50.
Right. So I don't know that you have any right to be upset about
that. I didn't talk to
that
person the whole flight.
You don't have any right to be upset.
No, you're right. I agree.
Really? You do?
No, you don't have a right to be upset for that. They took the gamble, or they got lucky.
Well, sure. And besides, pricing on airplanes, I'll bet any two people sitting on an airplane all go in the same place, right? What are the chances they paid the same for those tickets anyway? There are so many variables.
Right.
Did you use miles? When did you buy them? Blah, blah, blah. I say let them sit there.
But if you, ballparks, if you do that, then people are going to buy cheap seats and move up.
Yes, they are. Ballparks. I thought you were talking about ballpark, like in general. But
no.
If at ballparks, people do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
let's get some grandstand and then we'll go sit down with the hoity-toity after the fourth inning.
Right. I see your point about that. I don't know. It just seems to me like, A, those people are probably going to buy hot dogs and beer wherever they're sitting. And if I was the White Sox, if I was any venue that wanted to get more people in the house, I would lower the price, let them sit somewhere, and then the next thing you know, they've just spent $72 on two hot dogs and two Cokes. That's been my... And I'm sure that they've thought this through. So there must be some... this isn't just occurring to them.
Right.
But I would be very disappointed for them if the reason that they don't do what I'm suggesting, either the airplanes or the ballparks, is because of what the other people will think. I have a friend who goes to a lot of baseball games, and he would resent you getting the same seat at a better price sitting next to him. But I once again, I just don't think that's his argument to have.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Happy ones, too.
Here's John Williams.
Yeah, the bright side of life will come your way in 35 minutes or so. Where are you going to be around, say, 2:45? We'll do the bright side. It's Friday.
Lord have mercy.
The weekend is here. Does it seem like we've waited forever for Thanksgiving to get here? It's going to be kind of a short Christmas season, too, you know. This is John Williams here weekdays 1 to 3. Am I alone in that, Steve? You've felt that, too, right? Like...
Thanksgiving's forever away?
Yeah.
Well, it's the 22nd. It's never this early. So we're only getting now into the long part.
I guess so.
Does that make sense?
Well, I'll tell you what also screwed it up was that we had all that snow, you know, on Halloween. It just seems to me like we've been in a winter mode for a long time.
And that
I'm like,
we
wait,
have.
We're not even to Thanksgiving yet, let alone Christmas.
Can I tell you, I sent my mom and my dad a text today congratulating them on their wedding anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary to them.
Yeah, it's not today. My buddy, too, my friend, they're married on the same day. So I sent him, you know, happy anniversary. But I always confused the 25th, which is their anniversary, with the 22nd. Which is another big day that already has come up on your show, the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, sure.
So,
Boy, that's weird. Hey, Mom, Dad.
I know. And then right back, was like, oh, wait, I was thinking of the dead Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, Kennedy right. Assassination. Kennedy assassination. It's one or the other. You'd think those would be in different emotional or mental boxes for you, that they wouldn't get confused.
Not so much.
Brenda and I will celebrate I don't know how many years on the 27th of this month. I think some of us back in the day were getting married on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. That was our case because we thought, well, everybody will be in town and we'll all, after Thursday and then Friday, Saturday, you got nothing to do, you can come to our wedding. So it kind of worked out that way for us. And November weddings are just all over the map for weather, too. I mean, you know, the other day it felt kind of nice. It felt a little fall-like. And it has been more like winter the last few weeks. So anyway, happy Thanksgiving to you in advance. And Christmas is right around the corner. Our bright side at 2:40. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox is supposed to be on the phone line, and she's not there yet, is she, Producer Elif? You know, if she can't make this date, that does not bode well for the campaign. I'll play for you a few cuts.
She forgot to call you. She owns that.
Yeah, well, let's just do that for a second here while we've got a minute. Are you following the show here, Elif? We're going to play cuts 1, 2, and 3. This is from the ad, so the playback of a few clips from her commercial won't do it justice because, you know, we talked about this in the Mincing Rascals podcast. I think it's a terrific commercial. It looks really good. The music is good. The visuals are good. Her, as a TV performer, right, Kim Fox is really good. So let's start with cut one. This is her telling her story.
State's attorney is a tough job. Every day my office is under attack from a president who uses our city as a punching bag. The NRA, hell-bent on letting guns flood our streets. And the FOP, clinging to the old ways. They'll do anything to undercut progress, including attacking me personally over the Jussie Smollett case.
Yeah, so she does bring up Jussie Smollett. Prior to that, she talks about she came from Cabrini Green. The buildings came down, but the injustice didn't. That made her tough, and she's fighting for us, et cetera, et cetera. So that was cut one. And then here in cut two, you see her broach the Jussie Smollett case. Also, I think tellingly, she goes after the Fraternal Order of Police in her ads. She says she puts them in the same sentence with Donald Trump. We know that he spoke to police chiefs, and we know that I think we all understand the dynamics of that. But boy, she sure is giving up on getting their votes. She's actually cutting down the Fraternal Order of Police in her ad to run for state's attorney. It's a calculated risk. Yeah, she thinks that's going to go good for her, maybe especially if she thinks in Chicago associating the cops with the president is a good political play. But now cut three, Elif. This is what Steve was referring to.
Including attacking me personally over the Jussie Smollett case. Truth is, I didn't handle it well. I own that. I'm making changes in my office to make sure we do better. That's what reform is about. But we all know, those attacks aren't just about one case. They're about stopping progress in Cook County.
So that's at least a few of the highlights from her commercial. But when she says she did not handle the Jussie Smollett case well, and I own that, the Mincing Rascals were asking, you own what? What are you saying you did wrong there? Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox is now on the line. Kim, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. We appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Pardon my monologue. We were just kind of waiting to connect with you. So I was playing some of the commercial and honestly sharing with our audience, as I was prepared to do for you, what some of the journalists in town were saying in a podcast we recorded. Could you just pick it up there, though, Kim? When you say I own that, what are you owning? What are you saying?
Yeah, when I came into office in 2016, I came in on a platform of fundamentally changing how we handle criminal justice in Cook County, that we were going to focus our attention on violent offenses. 2016 was the bloodiest year in Chicago since 1999. We'd had over 760-plus people shot and killed. We had over 4,000 people who were shot, and our limited resources were not going towards gun violence. They were going towards low-level offenses. And so our office had been committed to reprioritizing that and going after violent crime, which also meant that for certain low-level offenses that we would handle them outside of court. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, in talking about this case, this case was treated like we've treated many others, but we didn't articulate well how and why we did that, and it left people with questions and concerns, and the responsibility and the accountability is mine to make sure that people understand how and why we do our work. And that's my responsibility, and I did not handle that well, and I own that.
You didn't handle maybe the communication of it well, but would you prosecute or not prosecute that case the same way? Would you have handled the Jussie Smollett case the same way looking back now?
You know, again, our office is committed to prioritizing violent crime. And over the course of our time in the office, we've expanded the use of out-of-court resources to deal with cases. And certainly, that's been our priority. It's allowed for us to do things like reallocate resources to our gun crime strategies unit, to create our violent crimes unit, to be able to do things that have allowed for us to see a reduction in violent crime and also in an increased prosecution in gun offenses. And so I certainly believe that the public should know how we're using our resources and why we're using our resources. But that's been the commitment that we've made, to focus on violent crime, not just low-level offenses.
So if I may, then you would not change anything, because it wasn't a big deal at the end of the day. All the bad publicity notwithstanding, this is a low-level crime. You would have handled the Jussie Smollett case the same way, if knowing now what you know.
You know, in the time that we have had the conversations about this one particular case, our office has handled 40 first-degree homicide cases just since the month of April. In August, our office put the two men who shot and killed 9-year-old Tyshawn Lee behind bars. You know, our office is prosecuting the case of the woman who was lured into a home trying to get baby clothes for her baby and had her baby ripped from her womb. You know, the sad reality is that when we talk about the city and our reputation, we have a lot of work to do on violent crime. And I am committed to doing that and committed to using our resources for nonviolent offenses differently.
How frustrating is it as a state's attorney? I understand that, and I don't think that's a small point at all. If we were going to ask you to prioritize your resources, of course that's the way you would do it. But how frustrating is it then for the top law enforcement officer in our, or how would you describe the state's attorney's office? Not top law enforcement officer, but the, you know, most important lawyer, if you will, for the city. How frustrating is it that low-level crimes don't get prosecuted the way maybe some people would like? If you steal a small amount from my store, I'd like to think that the Cook County State's Attorney's Office was going to prosecute that case, and I hear you saying maybe you can't.
No, I mean, I want to say that what we do is not about one case. Defining the work of the state attorney's office by one case, that's not what we do. We do prosecute low-level offenses. We absolutely do. We treat them appropriately. That case that you described may be treated as a misdemeanor. But the fact is, you know, when we care about the reputation and the safety of the people in our communities, I think we can do both. But the fact is we have to prioritize how we use our resources. You can do criminal justice reform and have public safety at the same time. In fact, you need to do both at the same time. And so, you know, how we do that, how people feel safe, are able to let their children go out and play, for a teenage mom to go and try to pick up clothes, we want it, and without being killed, we want to focus our attention on that. But we can also focus on low-level offenses in an appropriate way that doesn't take resources away from violent crime.
Talk to me about the campaign ad where you mentioned the Fraternal Order of Police. Was that a difficult decision for you to make, or was it a pretty easy decision for you to make?
You know, I think there are forces, whether it is President Trump or the Fraternal Order of Police, who want to take us back, who are not pleased with the notion that you can have justice reform and public safety. The fact of the matter is, in 2012, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office was dubbed Cook County was dubbed the false confession capital of the United States because of the work that had been done by Commander Burge. But when I came into office, Sergeant Watts had been in prison and out, even though everyone knew that he had put guns and drugs on innocent people. So we've gone from being the false confession capital of the United States to leading the country in vacating of wrongful convictions, 80 men and women since the last 3 years, 60 of whom were the result of a tainted police officer. And so it does not surprise me that President Trump and the FOP don't want me to continue to do that work. It doesn't surprise me that the footage that you saw of them protesting this work, because it's not about one case. It's about how we're trying to move forward as a national leader on justice reform and public safety, and the open hostility of this president and this administration towards doing that.
But when you say the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, are you speaking more about the union heads and maybe some of the rhetoric that gets tossed out, or are you actually characterizing the men and women of the Chicago Police Department as not being interested in reform, not being interested in solving these crimes, et cetera?
I want to be abundantly clear. The men and women of the Chicago Police Department are some of our strongest partners in doing the work that we do. They come in every day and testify under oath and are questioned by our assistants. That's how we prove our cases. What I'm talking about is what we saw back in April of this year, where the union heads and their leadership, rather than choosing to talk about things that can keep our community safe, chose to engage in antics like a march on my office with white nationalist groups, and without apology. That's not helpful to anyone. It is not in the interest of public safety for our elected leaders and leaders of our organizations to engage in that type of behavior. What I've tried to do is make Cook County a model for justice reform, and I know it's working because every Democratic presidential candidate has talked about a criminal justice reform platform that is similar to what we're doing here in Cook County. Legalizing marijuana, vacating convictions, decriminalizing poverty, and bail reform. And what I know is that there are people like the president, like the members of the NRA, and like the FOP leadership that we've seen here in Cook County who are trying to take us back.
Kim Fox, the Cook County State's Attorney, is on a phone line. Yeah, I was watching Channel 9 the other night, and the thing they said is central to your campaign, to this office. Forget your campaign, although it's central to your campaign, but to the office is now trust, vis-a-vis what happened with, doggone it, Jussie Smollett. So just talk to me for a minute about how you restore trust in the office and in you, Kim Fox. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, running for re-election. Her ad popped this week. She's kind enough to join us today on WGN. Trust is what they say the office needs, and this campaign is about, Kim. So how do you restore that in the office?
Yeah, I think it is. It's fundamental to the work that we do. It's why, you know, when I came into office in 2016, I promised transparency in the work that we did with the first prosecutor's office in the country to put every piece of felony case level data on an open data portal, so that people can see the work that we're doing and not just rely on my rhetoric, but can see the efforts that we're making. But we're going out there and engaging with communities and talking to people about not just this case, but the breadth of the work that we do. And, you know, in doing that, I think what has been heartening to me in reestablishing that is having, you know, the support and endorsement of people like Governor Pritzker, who I had the fortune of working with on the marijuana legalization bill, or Mayor Lightfoot, who is concerned about gun violence in this city, just as I am, who's been supportive of the work that we've been doing, and President Preckwinkle and her endorsement related to bail reform. And, you know, Senators Durbin and Duckworth, who understand from a national perspective the importance of the work that we're doing here in Cook County. And so, you know, as we work to continue to build that trust, again, a trust in a system that not too long ago was dubbed false confession capital, it is important to me to be able to make communities feel like this is an office that is representative of them and is operating at the highest levels of integrity. And so the support of those elected officials and really the men and women who are going out there every day engaging with our communities to reestablish that is very important to me.
You can make your answer to this. I'll let you go as short as you like, but
sure.
Those are the issues. And yet I have the feeling the next 4 months we're going to hear Jussie Smollett's name come up a lot. So what should the listeners keep in mind when we hear the maybe distraction in your mind of Jussie Smollett and then all of these other important issues? What advice do you have for people when they hear your opponents peppering the airwaves with that?
Yeah, my advice would be, you know, that there's a fundamental choice that we have to make, whether we're going to move forward with criminal justice reform and public safety and look at our record, or if we're going to go backwards. And a thorough examination of the record will tell you why we need to continue to move forward.
It's nice to talk to you, Kim. Come through our studio sometime, and good luck on the campaign. I appreciate you joining us.
I'd be glad to, and thank you so much. Have a happy holiday.
Likewise. Kim Fox, Cook County State's Attorney. It is 2:33. Pardon me, Steve. I'll put my headphones on and get ready for the show.
Well, hi, John.
I was reading The Body, A Guide for Occupants by Bill Bryson.
It's a lot of pages, so I can see why you'd need to read it any chance you get, right? What is it, about 1,000 and 1,500 pages?
It's about 500 pages, yeah. And I carry it with me on the train. And you know how everybody's got their phone in their hand on the train or on the L? It's lightweight, it's portable, and that's just what we do now. And then I've got this 500-page book that I'm holding with one hand. My other hand is holding the rail because you're standing and you don't want to fall down, so you've got to hold yourself up. But then I've got this book, and I know I'm going to drop it in or on somebody. And then they're going to look like, dude, what are you doing with an Encyclopedia Britannica in your hand? Get out of here.
Sorry.
Ella found that amusing. She's a train rider.
Yeah, I love reading on the train, but I don't like to if I'm standing. And if the book is too heavy, I hate carrying it.
Yeah, that's the way I'm rolling on this.
More power to you, John.
I will say this about riding the L. The one thing that you said a long time ago that I didn't get, but I now do, and I know I've said this before, Eliphas, people who wear backpacks on the L should not be allowed on the L. If you have a backpack, right, it has to come off. You need to hold it in front of you at your knees. It takes up the least amount of space there. You are two people if you are one person with a backpack on. Am I right about
that? Yeah, absolutely.
Worst person is the person with a backpack on the L. You cannot do that.
They knock you over.
My record is five trains. The doors open up. You can't get on. I'm standing there at Lake and State. I'm waiting to get on the red line. Doors open up. Some people can get on, not many. That's okay. You wait for the next train. Nobody gets off. A few people are able to squeeze in. And five trains later, I'm finally able to get on one, you know, with my nose in somebody's armpit. We're all just crammed in there like so many sardines. And that's the way you travel. I don't even mind the cramming in. I don't mind traveling tight like that. That's a big city. But I mind that I have to wait five trains or four trains or three trains. One or two, maybe. But after that, I think, you guys, I don't know what the solution is. It's not my job. I'm just a commuter here. But it shouldn't take three or four trains to finally get a spot for somebody to get on the train. Thanks to Kim Fox for coming onto the show. She didn't come into the studio. She was on the phone a little while ago. I'm just looking at the text line from what you all said about Kim Fox's visit. You know, my last question to her was, what guidance do you have for us? Because she's talking about very serious crimes that are getting solved, really bad guys that are getting prosecuted, low-level crime and how she's trying to manage that. These are the things that a state's attorney's office should care about, and you and I should care that they care about. They're going to be talking about Jussie Smollett through March. That's what they're going to be talking about. And her opponents are sure going to bring it up. He's suing the city and the police now himself because he wants to be in the news some more. So the texts come in and it says, King John, you've got a better shot of being state's attorney than Kim Fox does. She's got no shot. Another 708-er says, ask her why criminals caught with illegal guns are back on the street literally within hours of being arrested. She says less of that is happening. 217, is Kim Fox saying that hate crimes and the pretension of hate crimes are not violent or important enough? That's a Smollett question. She's not answering your question about Smollett. All we said was, knowing what you know now, would you do the Smollett case differently? And I thought that was a yes or no. And frankly, I thought it was yes. I thought that even if it's not yes, say yes. Hey, would you do the Smollett case, the national embarrassment that case was? Would you do that, the reason that Dan Webb is now looking into your office's handling of that case? Would you do it differently? That's all we asked, and she did not say yes. Maybe she can't, but I thought the answer was yes. 708, because she can't give you a straight answer, John, she's not getting my vote. 847, typical politician, she's not answering your question. I know she wasn't answering the question, but at some point, as the questioner, you just kind of give up, right? Like, you could, right? You can only go so far, and then you're just wasting everybody's time. 773, she lost trust with the community, lost my vote. There's no way to redeem herself. Darlene Glanton in the Tribune had a piece that said, what do you want? Do you want a progressive state's attorney's office that is cutting down on crime, or do you want somebody that did Jussie Smollett differently? The point being, we should not be so distracted by the way they handled that case. Wow, John, I wouldn't vote for her. She seems to have a, if you're not for me, then you're the enemy mentality, probably when she was talking about the Fraternal Order of Police. John, it's frustrating for all of these robberies that are taking place. They start at a low level and then they move up. So when they do prioritize what they're doing, obviously they put more resources on the big crimes than the little crimes. But people will tell you throughout Chicago that the low-level crimes are not being prosecuted. And finally, Kim Fox is talking about Chicago changing. Changing Chicago is the false confession hub of the nation. Didn't she contribute to that rhetoric by allowing Smollett's false confession? What a shame. She's not going to get away from that. She is not going to get around that thing. At least that's the way I see it. It's 2:39 on WGN. We will do the Bright Side of Life segment where you call in, tell us some good news in your world, tell us why you're smiling, and we will smile with you. The Bright Side of Life, we'll do that in about, in fact, we'll take a quick break here and we'll get ready for it. You can call in right now, 312-981-7200, or you can text to 312-981-7200. We've got some fun things for you to do this weekend as well, and that's all coming up. 773, they just keep coming. John, how come after the Smollett case, she claimed that it was all legit? Now that she's being investigated, she's claiming that it was handled wrong. I don't know that she said it was handled wrong. Well, actually, right. In the commercial, she says, I handled it wrong. I own that. But she's not any more specific than that. That was the frustration with the Mincing Rascals when we were talking about it on the podcast yesterday. So what exactly are you saying? And then in our interview just now, if you're just joining us, she said, well, we're prioritizing not low-level crimes, but high-level crimes, and that, at the end of the day, was a low-level crime. So if it didn't get the attention, if we dropped the ball on it, it's because that's not our priority. And that's what led me to say, well, then, if you could do it over again differently, would you? And that's when she didn't answer the question. John, Kim Fox never really answers why she dismissed the charges against Jussie Smollett. I guess it's a thorn in her side. And she's hoping the voters in Illinois will forget about it, Cook County anyway. I doubt that they will. Hopefully justice will prevail in that case. It's not over yet for Kim Fox. John, she's processing criminals. Why did she drop sex crime against an Indiana man that broke into two homes and sexually assaulted two women? She knocked it down. I don't have all of the details on those things. I appreciate your listening, your calls, and your questions. Oh, yeah, and then there's this. It is a fact. You are an impatient patient. We all are, right? You go to the doctor's office, you don't want to wait long, and afterwards you'd like to think the treatment will work like that. We're not very good patients. At the Joint Relief Institute, they know that. They're in Orland Park and they're in Oak Brook. They'll manage your knee pain quickly. In fact, they brag after the knee injection, it's typical for some of their patients to go to the gym or go shopping all day. Heck, I played basketball after my knee treatment at the Joint Relief Institute. If you've got knee pain, or shoulder pain, or elbow pain, come by for a free evaluation. As a patient, they'll use advanced digital imaging. They'll see where your joint has worn away. You can look too if you like. It's not all that scary. It's kind of amazing technology. And I'm telling you what, it works. This is a fast, pain-free, non-surgical procedure. I'll bet your insurance will cover. So limp or waddle or stroll, however, on over to the Joint Relief Institute. Online, jointreliefinstitute.com, or call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. Before we do the Bright Side, call 312-981-7200. Give us some good news in your world. It's time for the Bright Side. We always like to give you a few fun things to do in the Chicago area. What are you starting us with, Producer Ella?
This is Elvis Costello, who will be at Chicago Theater tonight at 8, and tickets are $65 at ChicagoTheater.com.
Let's talk about some other things going on. Hey, Lauren Lapka, you got some other things going on, too, in traffic land?
Sure do. Chicago Toy and Game Fair is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's over at Navy Pier, so you get to check out new toys and games, be a part of tournaments, get to see some, you know, fun characters walking around and all kinds of entertainment. But tickets are pretty cheap for an adult. It's about $16. Child is about $9. But that's 10 to 6 tomorrow and 10 to 5 on Sunday.
And what do they call that again?
The Chicago Toy and Game Fair.
Chicago Toy and Game Fair. You know, I mentioned yesterday that 2 days ago was the 10-year anniversary when the Toy and Game Fair was in town, that sad woman came up and threw a brick through the showcase studio window. Do you know that story?
When I heard it, I was kind of shocked,
yeah.
And that's very sad and scary.
I know. So that's just how I always remember the Toy and Game Fair, is that that's when the lady, as we were on the air, put a cinder block right through the window while we were sitting there. Also, the Christmas tree lighting is tonight at Randolph and Michigan Avenue, 6 p.m. Boy, they've got Michigan Avenue all set up with the lights and the bunting and the barricades. It's not going to be easy to get around if you're downtown, but that's for the 6 o'clock parade with musical performances to accompany. What else have you got over there?
You can start riding the Polar Express tomorrow at Chicago Union Station. So the schedule will vary based on the days, but tickets range from $38 to $70, and you can ride through the 29th. But it's a one-hour train ride through downtown, so a lot of fun.
The BMO Harris Mag Lights Festival is tomorrow at 5:30. Days of the Dead Horror Convention goes till 10 o'clock tonight, 11 to 7 tomorrow, 11 to 5 on Sunday. That's at the Crown Plaza at O'Hare. That costs you $30. And the Villa Park Arts and Crafts Fest is all weekend at the Odeum, 1033 North Villa Avenue. Goes till 9 tonight, 9 to 7 tomorrow, 10 to 5 on Sunday. It's $10. Give me one or two more you like, Lauren Lapka.
There's the Mother Truckin' Booze Fest tomorrow. That's over in Hoffman Estates at the Sears Center. A ticket will get you 25 tasting tickets. You can check out the food trucks. There will be live entertainment. And the tickets range from $20 to $100, depending on if you want VIP or not, or, you know, throughout the whole day.
And Northwestern Wildcats play the Minnesota Golden Gophers at home tomorrow at 11. They've won one in a row. It's been a very frustrating season. Let's see if they can make it two in a row. Last two games are big ones for the Wildcats, right? Not that they're going bowling or anything, but it'd be nice, I think, for them to beat Minnesota, which has been the darling of the Big Ten this year, and then Illinois is on this sudden roll. So that's going to be a great way to wrap up the season. So it's the Gophers and the Wildcats, 11 o'clock tomorrow. Pre-game at 10:30 here on WGN. Of course, the Bears play the Giants Sunday somewhere, I guess, Soldier Field. It doesn't really matter anymore. And the Blackhawks are away. They play the Dallas Stars tomorrow night at 7. Hey, Kevin, you ready to whistle? I see Kevin's over in Sportsland. Put your headphones on, big boy. You ready to roll for the bright side? In 3, 2, 1. Here we go now. Call me.
Some things in life are bad.
We do this on Fridays.
They can really make you mad.
3, 1, 2.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
981-7200.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle.
Call or text.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
And sing along. As we say.
Always look on the bright side of life.
One more.
Always look.
Not a bad start. Hang in there. Here we go.
Side of life.
That was solid. Very solid.
I'd say 2B, maybe B pluses there, Kevin.
Thanks. Appreciate it. It's well above my usual grade.
When you're feeling in the dumps.
What's making you smile today? While you got your mic on and your whistle wet, what's making you smile in sports?
Oh, the White Sox, biggest story in Chicago right now, making some noise. Back-to-back large contracts to some veteran players, and the Sox are looking like a dangerous team in 2020.
I didn't recognize the name of that catcher. Everybody else seemed to know who he is.
Yeah, maybe not a household name, but if you look, take a deep dive into his numbers in his career, one of the better, more consistent catchers in all of baseball. And last season, you could argue he was the best catcher in all of baseball.
The other story you're talking about is Abreu, is that right?
Jose Abreu, 3-year, $50 million contract extension, so the slugger not going anywhere.
Yeah, I was wondering what he was going to get. And what's the name of this pretty good catcher we got now?
Yasmani Grandal.
Lauren Lapka, why are you smiling in traffic land?
I'm smiling because my sister is in town, and we are all going out to dinner for my dad's birthday today, so it's going to be nice to have the family back together.
We're getting together with some friends tonight. We're going to have some sandwiches and listen to some jazz music. Always enjoy that in this city. It's a great place to do that. Oh, yeah. And I have to tell you the name of the restaurant that we went to last night with some friends. I'm making a note about the things I'm going to say on this. Stand by.
Feeling in the dumps.
Lots of calls on the bright side. Deborah, you go first. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Deborah?
Hi, John. I'm smiling because I'm on my way to Iowa City to see my son, who started his first year of medical school in August, and I haven't seen him since then.
Oh, that's so much fun to get together again like that. You must be very proud and also very broke.
I'm very proud and, yes, somewhat broke. But I'm also smiling because you're going to be on earlier in the day, and I'm so happy.
Thank you for that. I must tell you, I'm really looking forward to December 2nd, doing this show starting at 9 a.m. It is beyond bittersweet that Bill and Wendy aren't with the station anymore. I don't want to talk about that during the bright side. But, yeah, 9 to noon, this show moves December 2nd. Here we go.
Always look on the right side of life.
Hey, Ron, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Ron?
My bright side is Sue and I are celebrating 50 years of marriage next Friday.
Is this Ron Cox?
Yes, it is.
You are the best-looking married 50-year-old couple in the United States of America.
Well, now you and Brenda have something to shoot for.
Hey, happy anniversary, my friend. She's a lovely lady.
Yes, thank you.
And Ron's a good guy. What are you reading on the text line, Laura Lapkin?
630 says they're smiling because it's their daughter's 16th birthday, and they're going to see Blue Man Group with front row poncho seats tonight. I've always wanted to do that.
That's a lot of fun. Front row poncho seats, because you're going to get sprayed.
Oh, yeah.
Sue, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Sue? You're on the air.
Hi, I'm great. My bright side is that I had successful Mohs surgery to remove an uncommon kind of skin cancer from my lower right eyelid, and it's all good. And my sister, my wonderful sister, is here to help me keep my activities limited in the next few days. God is good.
That Mohs surgery is an amazing procedure. Kind of painful, isn't it?
No, it was amazing. Okay. Totally amazing. You're... And the doctor today, who kind of put things together afterwards, I was talking to him during the whole procedure. Like, totally bizarre, but amazingly wonderful.
I'm really glad. Sue, thanks for the call. I'm happy for you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
I had that Mohs procedure. The doctor looked at me before he did it, and he said, you know how doctors say this isn't going to hurt that much? He said, this is really going to hurt. And it really did. But this is the bright side. So read another one, Lauren Lapka.
How about two quick ones? I have 815. They just won $3,000 on a $5 scratch-off, which is amazing. And 312 said they got tickets to the Cubs Cards game in London for June 14th, 2020. That'll be a good time.
By the way, my bright side last night was we went to La Scarola, the Italian place downtown. Oh, my God, what fun is that? Really good Italian food, classic, nothing fancy, nothing. It's pasta, it's some steaks, it's some chicken, it's some fish, it's red wine, it's lots of Italian culture and pictures up on the walls, and we just had a blast. La Scarola.
Always look on the light side of life.
Hey, Vicky, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Vicky?
Well, because I talked to you about 3 or 4 weeks ago and said we had replenished our funds and we were going to do some more remodeling phase two in our house, and I just want to let you know that we got it done.
Oh, good. What was the latest section of the remodel? What did you do?
It was our bar area in the back of our house and our TV room. We re-sanded all the floors, built a new bar, put all the new equipment in the back end, and it's a whole different room.
All right, I'll come over. Stop begging.
Sounds good.
Vicki, have a great time. Thanks for the call.
And that's the final word.
What else you reading, Lauren?
847 says, John, I met my brother and his family for the first time. We were both adopted as babies and found each other through DNA tests. They all got along.
Yeah, no kidding. That lives the past. Hey, Sue, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Sue? What's your bright side?
Hi, John. Three friends and I just got back from a trip to the Biltmore in North Carolina, where we saw the Christmas lights in the evening, and it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
We all had a great time.
Oh, terrific. Hey, you know what? I haven't given away any of my Bright Side of Life pins that say Bright Side on there. Would you like a Bright Side of Life pin?
Well, Actually, John, I got one when I went to see you and Mr. Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, we gave them out at the show. Well, then keep that one, and I'll give yours to somebody else, okay?
Please do. Thank you.
Everybody, sing now. I always look on the bright side. What have you got, Producer Olive?
I have four winners from Facebook for the Bright Side of Life pin from Joint Relief Institute, and their names are Joan, Ken, Wendy, and Barbara. Joan says, we're pulling into Disney World this morning, or in the morning, and our kids and three grandchildren will be joining us this weekend, spending Thanksgiving with the mouse.
Yeah, no kidding. That's
brilliant.
Good timing.
There you go. Enjoy. It's your love.
Hey, Nancy, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
My bright side is that I am cancer-free for 3 months as of today.
Oh, wow. What a relief. You must feel great, huh?
I feel so blessed, and I feel I am so lucky. I'm just so lucky.
That's the essence of what we're doing here. You're cancer-free, and you feel lucky. That's looking on the bright side. Well, congratulations.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that, Nancy.
No problem. Have a nice day, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Stay well. How about Cole? Cole, jump in here. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Cole? Oh, pardon me. I put Mary up. So, Mary, you go ahead. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Mary?
I'm on my way down to my home near Monticello with my 3.5-year-old granddaughter, and we're going to ride the Polar Express tonight.
They have one of those trains down there, do they? I lost Mary, but I'll bet the answer is yes. Lauren Lapke, you got one more to read to us?
I sure do. Actually, how about two quick Thanksgiving ones?
Sure.
815 says their bright side is that their Army Sergeant daughter based in Italy just surprised them that they'd be home for Thanksgiving. And 630 says they're smiling and counting their blessings that their 93-year-old World War II veteran father is well and cooking the turkey and stuffing again this year, despite his daughter thinking he's too old.
I hold on to that one. We'll make sure they get a Bright Side of Life pin, too. And maybe time for one more. Debbie, why are you smiling today? You're on WGN.
Hi. My daughter, Justine Ahrens, is having her 20th birthday today.
Oh, wow.
And she is in college. She is just absolutely fantastic.
Well, here's what you need to give her for her 20th birthday, a Bright Side of Life pin from our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. We do this on Fridays. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your tech. 259, Kevin, have you been to Las Carolas?
I haven't. It's on the list, though. But that whole area is just filled with great old-school spots. Piccolo Sonio right over there, too.
I have not spent much time in that particular area. And we're sitting there having a great time. Who walks by but one Anna DeVlantis?
Oh, yeah. She's always in that area.
She said hello. They were having a nice time, heading out the door. And we just had a swell time. Las Carolas for old-school Chicago Italian food in a restaurant. We had a real nice time. You guys have a great time. I'll talk to you on Monday on WGN.